Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts 22. Acts 22. Let's pray together. Our Father, how wonderful it is to be able to come together and to meet in your name. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessing, allowing us to meet in the assembly of your people and your gospel. We ask you, Lord, to bless the word tonight. We pray that you would cause us to truly rejoice and to enter into the gates of thanksgiving for what you've done for us. We pray for those in our midst that are sick, and we pray, Lord, that you would minister according to your wisdom and your grace. And we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Paul the Apostle has been conversing with the chief captain, soldiers, and he sets forth his right to a fair trial. At verse 25, the Apostle Paul asked this soldier just before he began to beat him. Paul said in the latter part of that 25th verse, he said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Well, verse 27, the chief captain came and he said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." Well, this chief captain then relates that his freedom of citizenship, he says in that 28th verse, and we'll look at verses 28 to 30 tonight, the chief captain answered Paul. He said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." This captain, he was a Roman. And he bought, paid for his citizenship. He said, "With a great sum, I paid to be a Roman." Now here you got two guys. One of them paid to be a Roman, and the other was born a Roman. Free man. Free. Now this evening, I'd like to consider not Paul's citizenship as a Roman. But I want to take these passages of Scripture here, and I want us to consider these Scriptures in light of the spiritual nature of what's been set forth. Paul, he was a Roman, and he was born a Roman. But not his citizenship as a Roman am I concerned about, but his citizenship in the family of God. And I can tell you this, every believer has got an interest in being born in the family of God. This Roman captain here, he said, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." The Roman government was the ruling government of the major portion, that part of the world. Free men, rights, honor, dignity. He said, I bought this freedom. I was made a citizen. That's what it means, citizenship. I paid for the right to be a Roman citizen. I paid for the right to walk with my head high and to wear this uniform. I bought this. It's mine. It cost me a lot of money. It cost me a lot of money to be a Roman. But I did it. This Roman soldier did, concerning his citizenship, to be a Roman, what man by nature thinks he can do to be a member of the family of God. Buy it. Pay for it. Simon the sorcerer said when he offered the Apostle Peter some money to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." But Peter said unto him, "Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Man, by nature, there's only two messages that can be preached. It's either salvation by grace, or if salvation by the works of man. There's only two messages. As I've said before, you can hang a shingle on a church building and you can call it, "Well, we belong to this denomination. We're this denomination." Let me ask you this. What do you say? How do you say salvation is obtained? That's what I want to... How do you say? And you write this down. It's either going to be works of grace. It's going to be one or the other. Doesn't matter what you call it, what the name of it is. What, as I've said before, everybody's got their little pack of peanuts. What think you of Christ? This Roman soldier said, "I bought it. I paid for it." Paul said, "I was born free. I was born a Roman." Man is born the first time. Now listen to me. You did not have anything to do with your birth. You had nothing to do with your birth. You were born because of your mom and dad. And you had no input into it. You were born because of something that someone else did, not you. You were born the first time. But now the first time you were born in bondage. Romans 6:20 says, "For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness." That word "free" means disengaged. The first time you're born disengaged from righteousness. There was nothing about you. There was none good. You were conceived in sin. You came forth from your mother's womb speaking lies. You were dead spiritually. Adam died spiritually, and you didn't have anything. You didn't have anything to do with that boy. You were born dead. You had no use. You had no interest in God's righteousness. You did not do anything to be born the first time. I mean, we got that part down. So for there to be true freedom before God Almighty, for there to be true freedom before the law of God, for there to be true freedom from its penalty, there's going to have to be a birth that is opposite to the birth of bondage. There's going to have to be a birth of freedom. And just like you had nothing to do with the first birth, you don't have anything to do with the second one either. Man cannot birth himself. He can't birth himself. You must be the recipient of something outside of yourself. It just, think about how you were born the first time. Now, this second birth that we're talking about is actually what we refer to as regeneration. Now, there's four things I want to say concerning this birth. A picture, a type of what Paul says, I was freeborn, a Roman. Well, I want to talk to you about being freeborn, a child of God. Number one, this birth, it's a birth of necessity. John 3:7, the Lord speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." You must be. Here's the thing. Here's the reason why you must be born again. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Now, this is the reason why we must be born again. There's none righteous. None. And 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Well, here's the situation now. We're born the first time through no effort, no works of our own. We were the recipient. And we were born dead. We were born unrighteous because we were conceived in sin. Because of Adam's fall, and in Adam, in the natural generation of human beings, everybody's born just like Adam. Same nature of sin. So there's none righteous. But here's the thing. None that are unrighteous shall ever inherit the kingdom of heaven. So here's the summation of that. Nobody that is born the first time in Adam without a new birth is going to inherit the kingdom of God. No unrighteousness. This birth that we must have, it's a birth that does not involve a changed heart. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day. God has got to change our heart. Do you know that there's no place in Scripture that talks about the heart being changed? I looked it up. There's no mention in all of the Scriptures concerning a heart being changed. The Scripture says that the old heart is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked. And let me tell you, the Lord said, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. The heart born in Adam remains unchanged. That's why Paul says, "In me, that is, in my flesh, that dwells no good thing." The old heart is not changed. The new birth is not the removal of anything from a man. It's the communicating of something to him that wasn't there before. It's a new nature. It's the impartation. It's the putting in of a new nature. Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart, a new will. Also will I give you. And a new spirit, a new character will I put within you. So the new birth is something that we absolutely have to have. You must be born again. No person that is born in Adam without the impartation of a new nature is going to inherit the kingdom of God. So since I'm born the first time with a heart that hates God, I must be born again in order to possess a new heart that loves the one who has everlastingly loved me. But how does that happen? How? I know I've got to be born again, and I'm telling you, I don't have any part in it. How does it happen? Here's the second part. It's a birth according to God's grace. John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, to them, and I'm adding these words, it was made evident. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now let me tell you something about that word become right there. If you read that, as many do, and say, as many as received Him, then gave He power to become the sons of God, that's a wrong interpretation. The word become in there means to appear in history. It means to be brought about, to be made evident what God had always purposed. As many as received Him, it was obvious that God gave He power to become, to appear in history, the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Paul, it's as if anticipated under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, causing Paul to write the latter part of that scripture to clarify so that men would be stopped when they tried to misinterpret the first part of it. They were born. They received, associated by faith, Him because God had given them a new heart. And that new birth, it was not of blood. It means it wasn't by heredity. It wasn't because my mother and dad were believers does not mean that I would be a believer. Not necessarily so. Not just because of that. Let me tell you this. Regeneration does not run in the veins of human beings. Two believers don't beget another believer. No. Two believers beget a dead sinner. That's what they beget. It takes God to rebirth. Not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh. I tell you this, Paul says, in me, that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. It's not born by the will of the flesh. People, you hear and I hear and you know and I know. Men try to tell people, you can receive, you can act, you can take this, you can exercise your free will. Men are not born by the will of the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Someone says, well, I can believe. No, you can't. Not by the will of the flesh. Not by the will of man. I would desire to see my family saved. I pray God have mercy on my family. I pray the Lord save my brothers and sisters. I pray that He does. But I'm going to tell you something. Men are not born by the will of man. Regeneration is not brought about by well-meaning efforts. And I cannot talk you into it. I can talk to you about scriptures that in my mind are so plain, I don't see how you don't see them. But I'm telling you, unless God gives a man a new heart, I don't care how much you try to talk to him and reason with him. Men don't hear. God must give them a hearing ear. How are they born? They're born of God. The new birth is a divine work accomplished by the sovereign grace of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Thirdly, this is a birth that is accomplished by God's means. Number one, this is a birth that I must have. Number two, this is a birth that is by the grace of God. And number three, this is a birth that is accomplished only by the means that God has set forth. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, being born of water, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean baptismal regeneration. It doesn't mean that just because someone goes into the water and is baptized, that they're regenerated. That does not mean what this scripture says for. It cannot, because if that was the case, if it took baptism in order for a man to be converted, then I'll tell you this, the thief on the cross would have been excluded from entering into the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him, he said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." If baptism was salvation, then Simon the sorcerer would have been included, because he said he believed and was baptized. And Peter later told him, he said, "Your money's going to perish with you because your heart's not right with God." And he was baptized. One of them wasn't baptized, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You'll be with me today." And the other one was baptized, and Peter says, "Your heart is not right before God, and you're going to perish with your money." So what does it mean to be born of water? Water refers to the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is what water means. Unless a man is born of water, the Word of God, and Spirit, James 1:18, of his own will begat, generated, or brought us forth with the Word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. David said in Psalms 119:50, "This is my comfort in my affliction." He says, "Thy word hath quickened me." The Word of God, the gospel of God's grace, this is the means by which God quickens his people. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this. I'm telling you, if you or anyone, you know anyone, has got any hope, this is why I say." What's the best thing to tell somebody? They're asking some questions. What do you tell them? Come see it. It pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching the gospel. This is the means by which God calls out his people. That word is the word of God Almighty. And they must be born by water, by the word, and by the Spirit. That word must be powerfully sent to us. John 6:63, he said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth," doesn't say profiteth little, it says it profiteth nothing. "The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life." The Lord told Nicodemus, he said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." How is a man born again? He's born again by God's means. God has been pleased to send the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, the gospel is the declaration of what God has done. I've told you this, and I mean that. I'm not trying to convince anybody that I have an offer for you. This is not an offer. This is a declaration of truth. God Almighty is going to save his people. I would declare, God Almighty has chosen a people before the foundation of the world. God Almighty has purposed, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." In the declaration of that truth, in time, when it pleases God, who has providentially brought those that he's everlastingly loved under that sound, they hear it. If God gives them a heart for it, they believe it. And they love it. And for the first time in their life, they think, I want to have something to do with that. That's real to me. That's not just dead religious jargon to me. And there's belief there, that because there's faith there that God has imparted in a freeborn. I must have it. It's something that Almighty God must do. And thirdly, it is something that God's going to do by one means, by the gospel. Gospel. And then fourthly, this is a birth that's unknown and it's hidden to the carnal mind. John 3:9-10, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, when the Lord told him, he said, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You don't perceive, you don't understand what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. This is a hidden. There is something going on in this world right now that this world doesn't know anything about. I'm telling you, this whole world is being held. It consists what it says. And Almighty God is bringing honor to Himself and He's calling out His people. That's why this world's here right now. No other reason. God has a people and He's calling them out. And this world is just going on its merry way. And no knowledge. No knowledge of what's going on. Luke 10:21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. The Lord thanked His Father. Thank You. Thank You for bringing honor to Yourself by hiding these things from the wise and the prudent, wise in their own estimation, prudent in their own estimation, and You revealed it unto babes. Thank You. Because it seemed good in Your sight. That Roman soldier asked Paul, he said, you a Roman? He said, yes, I am. Chief captain told him, probably boasting, great sum I obtained this freedom. Paul says, I was freeborn. Boy, a believer will come be talking. You ever notice how people want to impress you with what they know and what they've done? They'll ask you, ask a believer, unbeliever, ask a believer. Said, you're a Christian? Believer says, yes, I am. That unbeliever began to boast. Well, I gave my heart to Jesus about 30-something years ago now. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I attend so-and-so over here. I've been a faithful deacon. What he said is, I obtained my freedom with a great sum. And that believer in his heart will think this, but for the grace of God, I wouldn't have anything to do with him. But for the grace, I was freeborn. I was born by the grace of God, and I know it. And I'm telling you, I'm kept by the grace of God, and I know that, and I know this. If he didn't birth me, I won't stay. I'll give it up. I'll walk away. Those that are born of God are truly freeborn. Born by grace, born by God's Spirit into the glorious freedom wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then straightway, verse 29 and 30, they departed from him which should have examined him, which had tortured him. And the chief captain also was afraid after he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him on the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews. He loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before him. You see, that chief captain knew, having heard that Paul was a Roman, he knew that he had broken the law of Rome. He knew he had. He was scared. Because it's not lawful to beat a Roman citizen without being condemned. He was afraid because he knew what the consequences would be. Paul's citizenship and that Roman soldier's ignorance of it was no excuse for the crime. He was ignorant of Paul's citizenship. But I'm telling you, he was still guilty. Though he was ignorant, he was still guilty, man. Man's guilty before God. Then say, well, but citizen, Roman soldier said, yeah, but I didn't know. Man will stand before God and say, yeah, but I didn't know I was guilty. No excuse. I must be born again. But I didn't know how. You must be born again. Ignorance of the law does not excuse a man from its penalty. Spiritually, we're all guilty before God. We've broken God's law, born in Adam. We're sinners by practice. Though dead spiritually in sin and ignorance before God, Almighty God has revealed to us His mercy and His grace and His kindness, and He's done it through the gospel. And through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit of God has borne witness to that new heart that God has imparted, that we're the sons of God. Thereby, we have peace. Romans 3:19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Almighty God has been pleased to birth into the knowledge of His kingdom a people that He's everlastingly loved. And you know, they don't make any claim whatsoever to anything that they've done. I mean, it's the most foolish thought to a believer to brag on something that he's done. I'll tell you what you do. Every time it crosses your mind, you thank the Lord that He called you by His grace. Lord, thank You that You everlastingly loved me, that You set Your affection on me, that You looked upon me in mercy and compassion, that You sent the Lord Jesus Christ in this world to live and to die for me, and that in time You called me out of darkness. I was freeborn. I was born freely. Born by the grace of God. Born not because of anything in me. It's Him. Born of God. Freeborn. That's the cry, that's the hope, and that's the peace of those before Almighty God who stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Freeborn. Amen. Gary, come and listen.